All right, we'll say good morning. Today's daf is Tzadik Zayin, but we're picking up in Mir Tzeshem on Tzadik Vav Amud Beis, last five lines. Tan Rabbanan. So the Brisa said the following. Mikoshesh Zetzlafchad. So remember again, the Gemara spoke about yesterday, the Mikoshesh Eitzin, the individual who was Mikoshesh. So we had three different opinions as to what exactly the Mikoshesh did. Was he literally someone who went ahead and you know, uprooted something from the ground, Kotzer, or he was Mavir, he carried something Dalet Amos and Ushtaravim, or he was Ma'amer, or he gathered. So three Machlokes. So now the Gemara is going to discuss the identity of the Mikoshesh. So Tana upon the Mikoshesh is that Tzlafchad. The Mikoshesh was Tzlafchad. Remember, again, we know Tzlafchad through the episode of Benos Tzlafchad, right? It was his daughters that came to Moshe Rabbeinu and asked for their father's portion in Eretz Yisrael. So the Gemara says, Mikoshesh zet Tzlafchad. V'chein hu omer v'ayu b'nei Yisrael b'amidbar v'yimtzu ish. So the Torah introduces the episode of Mikoshesh by saying the Jewish people were in the desert and they found a man. Mikoshesh eitzim b'yom Shabbos. So the Gemara says, "Ulahalanu Omer." Furthermore, later on it says, when Benos Tzlafchad approached Moshe Rabbeinu, so what do they say? Avinu meis b'midbar, right? Our father died in the desert. So we'll say what the Gemara is linking over here is the b'midbar. Vayu b'nei Yisrael b'midbar, vayim tzish mikoshesh eitzim. Avinu meis b'midbar. So just like the b'midbar by Mikoshesh, so the b'midbar by Tzlafchad identifies him as the Mikoshesh as well. So the Gemara says, "Divrei Rabbi Akiva, ma'ala lan Tzlafchad." Just like over there was Tzlafchad afkan. So to hear Tzlafchad as well. Divrei Rabbi Akiva. Amulah Rabbi Yehuda ben Mizir. Listen to this. Rabbi Yehuda ben Mizir says, "Akiva, benkach ubenkach ata asid liten asadin." Akiva, either way, you are in very big trouble. Why? He says, "Im kidvarecha." If you're right that the Mikoshesh was Tzlafchad, Hatora kisuso va'ata megala oso, meaning the Torah purposely did not reveal the identity of the Mikoshesh. The Torah purposely just calls him a Mikoshesh, doesn't use his first name. So the Torah concealed his identity, and now you're taking it upon yourself. You know, mamish, like this is like revealing the names of the people of Witness Protection Program. So you're going ahead and you're revealing the names. So Kodesh Baruch clearly didn't want that. Ve'im lav, and by the way, if you're wrong, and the Mikoshesh wasn't Tzlafchad, then what? Ata motzilazal osa tzadik. Then you're being motzilaz. You're speaking lashonar about Tzlafchad. Tavav tzadik zayin. Ve'elaha gomar gzir shafa. So the Gemara says, I say, what does Rabbi Akiva say to that? Rabbi Akiva says, what do you want from me? I learned this gzir shafa. Oops, thank you. I learned this Gezeirah Shavah from my Rebbe. Right? Meaning this is the Masorah for the Gezeirah Shavah that I have. So ultimately, again, you can't fault me. You can't fault me for learning the Gezeirah Shavah. That's my Masorah. So the Gemara says, to which the Gemara says, Gezeirah Shavah lo gamar. So interesting enough, clearly again, Rabbi Yehuda, Ben Bezeirah did not learn this particular Gezeirah Shavah. Ela mehacha hava. See, here's what's interesting. Israel said that even according to Rabbi Yehuda, even if Rabbi Yehuda wants to disagree with Rabbi Akiva and say that Tzlafchad wasn't the Mikoshesh, there's one thing which is for sure, which is that Tzlafchad died as a result of the sin. Now, the reason we say that is because when his daughters come and approach Moshe Rabbeinu, they say to Moshe Rabbeinu, Bechet o meis. He died because of his own sins. His daughters already identify the fact that his death was not a pashut thing, but his death came as a result of something he did. So then what did he do? So to which Rabbi Yehuda ben Bezeirah says that the mistake of Tzlafchad was he was one of the ma'apilim. What are the ma'apilim? After Moshe Rabbeinu, after the sin of the Meraglim, Moshe Rabbeinu tells Klal Yisrael, you're not going into the Eretz Yisrael. And what happens next? There's a group of individuals that decide they're going to try to rectify the wrong, and they're going to try to enter into Eretz Yisrael. And Moshe Rabbeinu tells them, don't do it, it's not going to work. And they try, and they're beaten back by the Amaleki. So that was considered sinful as well. Because once again, it was a violation of the word of God. God said, you're not going in. And they went in anyway. So according to Rabbi Yehuda ben Bezeirah, Tzlafchad was one of the ma'apilim. So we find another example of this. What's the other example? The Torah says, in the episode of where Aaron and Miriam spoke Lashon Hara about Moshe Rabbeinu. So the Torah says that God got angry at them. the anger of God flared up against them. Vayelech, and God left. Melamed she'Aaron nitzara divrei Rabbi Akiva. So Rabbi Akiva says, what do we learn from here? That even Aaron contracted tzaras. Amar lo Rabbi Yehuda ben Maaseir, Akiva, ben kach hu ben kach ata asad litein etzadin. Akiva, either way, you're in big trouble. In kidvarecha Torah kisaso ve'ata megala oso. So if you're right, the Torah purposely went ahead and did not divulge the fact that Aaron got tzaras. Torah tells us that Miriam got tzaras, but didn't tell us that Aaron got tzaras. So the Torah clearly decided not to disclose that information, and you're going ahead and disclosing it. V'im lav, and if you're wrong, that Aaron didn't get tzaras, then ata motzi laz al osa tzadik. Then what? Then you are being motzaz, and you are speaking lashon hara about Aaron. Ve'ela haksiv bum. Aye, but it does say bum, plural. It says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu Vayichar Af Hashem Bam, that God got angry at them, plural. Hahu Benezifa Ba'alma. So truth, it doesn't have to mean that Aaron got Tzaras. It means that Aaron also was the target of divine wrath. But Lav Davka, that means, or divine rebuke. But Lav Davka, that actually means that he contracted Tzaras. Tanya Kimando Amar Af Aaron Nitzara. We have a Braisa that supports, that says that even Aaron got Tzaras. Dichsiv, because the Pasuk says, Vayifen Aaron el Miriam vihine mitzoras. David, thank you very much. That the Torah says that Aaron turned to Miriam and she was mitzoras. She had tzaras. Tana shepana mitzaraso. So the Braisa says, what does it mean that Aaron turned? It means that Aaron turned from his own tzaras and he began to pay attention to Miriam's tzaras. If someone suspects good people of doing wrong things, ultimately loke bagufo means they are held accountable. They're literally stricken. What's it? There's this coffee. If anybody wants, it's turning around. I know it's okay. There's if anybody wants this coffee. We're not going to stop, but feel free to help yourself and shkoach to David and shkoach to Ari for always taking care of it every single day. You know, we take for granted when things work right, and then we realize one day that it doesn't. Mamish, everybody comes, Ari does it, and Mamish also of his own resources every single day. A big shkoach to him and shkoach to David for today. So the Gemara says the following. The Gemara says, "Achoshi b'kshem loke b'gufo," that if one goes ahead and suspects good people of doing wrongful things, they are stricken physically. Dichsiv v'hein lo ya'aminu li. This is actually what it says in Yonah Diyoma, because we just had this in last week's parasha. Moshe Rabbeinu says to God that the Jewish people will not believe me. They will not believe me that you sent me to them. Galya kumei kutshabrichu dimehem Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew that the Jewish people would in fact believe Moshe Rabbeinu. Amar lo, and therefore God says to Moshe, Hey ma'aminim b'nei ma'aminim. They are believers, the son of believers. Va'ata ein sov chalhamin. But the irony is, you, Moshe, will be the one in the end who will not believe. So what does that mean? Hein ma'aminim, the Jewish people are believers. Dichsiv v'ya'amein ha'am. Because the Torah says that when Moshe Rabbeinu comes, and he comes with the message of divine redemption, the people believe him. People believe him. B'nei ma'aminim, they are the sons of believers. V'ha'amin b'Hashem. That's by Avraham Avinu. The Torah tells us that Avraham Avinu believed in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hata in sof kol v'hamin. Moshe, I, in the end, you're not going to believe. Shene emar, yan lo ha'emantem bi. Because the Torah says, after Moshe makes the mistake of hitting the rock, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Avinu, you're not going to go into Eretz Yisrael because you did not believe in me. So mimai delaka, how do we know that Moshe Avinu ultimately was stricken? So also remember, the Gemara is using this as the proof to the fact that choshed b'ksherim, that when one goes ahead and suspects good people of doing bad things, and they're wrong, ultimately they're stricken as a result. So mimai d'loka, how do we know that Moshe Rabbeinu was stricken for this choshed b'ksherim of Klai Yisrael? D'chsiv, vayomer Hashem lo, od haveina yadcha b'chekecha. So remember, one of the signs that HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu is, put your hand by your chest, and what happens? Moshe Rabbeinu takes out his hand, and he gets tzaras. Why tzaras? Out of all the ways that HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have proven himself to Moshe Rabbeinu, why tzaras? Because obviously the Gemara is saying that this tzaras is linked with this notion of, with this idea of Lashon Hara. Amar Rava, v'itema Rabbi Yossi v'Rabbi Chanina. So Rava says, and some say it's Rabbi Yossi v'Rabbi Chanina, midah tovim maheres lavo midas paranus. that God delivers good very quickly than he, more quickly actually than he delivers punishment. De'ila b'milas paranos, because when it comes to punishment, k'siv vayotzi'a v'hine yado mitzoras, because the Torah says that again, following up on the previous episode, that when Moshe Rabbeinu spoke Lashon Hara about Klal Yisrael, so the Torah says that Moshe Rabbeinu took out his hand, and his hand was covered in tzaras, which makes it sound like when did the tzaras actually occur? At the time that he removed his hand from his chest. V'ilu b'midatol v'ksiv, but yet when Moshe Rabbeinu was healed, what does it say? V'yotzia mecheiko. He removed his hand from his chest, v'hinei shava kivsaro, and it returned like his flesh. Mecheiko, who deshava kivsaro. From the time already that his hand was on his chest, his hand was already healed. So the Gemara is saying again that you see that God's good comes more quickly than God's punishment. Because God's punishment came about ultimately when Moshe Rabbeinu removed his hand and it became tzaras. He was healed already even before he removed his hand. He was healed already when he put his hand back on his chest. Vayivla mata aronis matosam. So again, the Gemara just gives one more agadic statement. So remember, the staff of Aaron swallowed up their staffs. Amar Rabbi Elazar, neis b'soch neis. This was a miracle in a miracle. Look at Rashi. It's the last wide line of Rashi on top. Neis b'soch neis. What does it mean, one miracle in another miracle? La'achar shechazra v'na'asa mata. After the staff once again became a mata, became a staff, bala'an. So remember, Aaron's staff swallowed them up. V'lo kishahu tanin. It's actually very interesting. We'll say. So the Gemara is suggesting that what actually happened is Aaron throws the staff down, the staff becomes a snake, then the staff becomes a staff again, and it's the staff of Aaron that swallows up the other staffs, not the snake. And the reason why the Gemara is making that drush is because the pasuk says Vayivla Mata Aaron. It says the staff swallowed up, and it doesn't say that. It does not say that the snake swallowed up. Fine. The Gemara says right there. So back to the Gemara. So remember again, the Mishnah spoke about the case. If you throw an object from one Rosh Hashayachid to another Rosh Hashayachid, and there's a Rosh Hasharabim in the middle. So Rabbi Akiva says you're Chayiv, and the Chachamim say that's your Potter. So the Gemara says the following. Boy Rabba. So Rabba asked the following question. Lemata me asara pligi. So now we're going to try to define the scope of this machlokes between Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim. So Rabbi wants to ask the following: are they arguing in a case of where the object flies, the object travels, we'll call it, with intent falcon to the ground? Ubaha pligi. And then this would be what they were arguing about. Demar savar kaminan kluto kimisha huncha. So then we actually had this before. So then what are they arguing about? One opinion says kluta, that's when an item travels through the airspace of a particular rishus, it's considered as if what? It's considered as if it has come to rest in that particular rishus. Umars, which would be the position then of Rabbi Akiva, because Rabbi Akiva holds that Yechayiv would say that when an object flies through this airspace of rishus harabim, it's as if it came to rest in rishus harabim, and therefore again it would be chayiv for osav. Umar Savra lo amrinan kluta kimishuncha. But on the other hand, the Chum who would say that your potter would say, no, we don't say that an item that travels through the airspace from a particular area is as if it comes to rest in that area. Aval, but everyone would agree that lamala me'asara, that if the object traveled above 10 tefachim, then divrei hakol potter. Everyone would agree that your potter, because again, then that would be traveling above 10 in the airspace of Rishus Harabim, which would be a makom p'tur. Velo yafinan zorek mimoshit. And therefore, we do not learn out the case of throwing from the case of handing. Because remember, as we've seen already, handing an object, you could be chayiv, even if halacha l'maaseh that is taking place in an airspace above 10 tefachim. Odioma, or the second possibility is, now remember, what we're trying to figure out is how to frame the machlokes. Odioma, perhaps the other possibility is, l'malam yasar pligi. Maybe they really are arguing in a case of where the object travels above 10 tefachim, in the Rosh Sarabi. Ubaha pligin, this is what they're arguing about. One opinion holds that we learn out the laws of throwing from the laws of handing. And just as if you hand an object, or for that matter, you carry an object above 10 tefachim Rosh Hashanah Yechayiv, that is true also if you go out and you throw it. Umar Savar, and that would be Rabbi Akiva. Umar Savar lo yafinan. And the other opinion holds, no, we don't learn out the laws of throwing from the laws of handing. Lo yafinan zorek mimoshit. Avalamata miyud, but below, within 10 tefachim, Divrei Akol Chayiv. Everyone would agree that you're Chayiv. My time, what's the reason? Kluta K'mishahun Chadamya. Because everyone would agree with the principle that when an object travels through the airspace of a particular area, it's as if it's absorbed in that area. Okay? So, Shabbos, I see these are the two possibilities. Amar Rav Yosef, Ha Milsa Iboyle Rav Chista, Upashta Nehile Rav Hanuna Meha. So this question was posed by Rav Chista and Rav Hanuna, and Rav Hanuna resolved it from the following situation. Meha. Mirashusa Yochid Rashusa Yochid. If one throws an object, or if an object travels through Rashusa Yochid, from one Rashusa Yochid to another Rashusa Yochid, the over Birshus Harabim Atzma. And it goes through the Rishus Harabim itself. Look at Rashi. Rashi says, This is interesting. So it doesn't use the word Hazorik over here. It just says the object goes from Rishus Yochid to Rishus Yochid and travels to Rishus Harabim in the middle. Rabbi Kiva Mechayiv. Rabbi Kiva says, Mechayiv. The Chachamim Potrim. And the Chachamim say, your Potter. So says the Gemara, here's what's interesting, that this braisa is phrased differently than our Mishnah. Because our Mishnah just says, Hazorek mirushus hayochid, lirushus hayochid, urushus harabim be'emtza. In this case, it uses the lashon of rushus hayochid, rushus hayochid, and it goes to rushus harabim atzma. It goes to rushus harabim itself. So what does that mean? So the Gemara says, midikamar birushus harabim atzma. Since it used that lashon of it goes to the Rishus Harabim itself, pshita lamata me'asara. It would appear that what does it mean? What is it between Rishus Harabim and Rishus Harabim atzma? That atzma must mean where is the object traveling within 10 tefachim of the ground of Rishus Harabim, which is considered to be real Rishus Harabim. And therefore, what do you see? Nevertheless, pligi, the machlokes still applies. Still applies. So apparently then this would seem to support the first version of the Machlokes, that the fundamental dispute between Rabbi Kiva and Chacham is really on the subject of Kluta K'mishahun Chadamya. That when an object travels through the airspace of a particular Rishus, is it as if the object has come to rest in that Rishus or not? Ubenai, and what are they arguing about? Ileima b'ma'avir l'mata me'asarahu d'mechayiv l'ma'ala mi'yud lo mechayiv. If you want to see, we're dealing now with the situation of where the object is being carried, or the object is being transported within 10 tefachim, but above 10 tefachim you will not be chayiv. So the Gemara says, V'ha'amar Rabbi Lazar, hamotzi masui. Now remember, we'll say, now the Gemara is going to try to grapple with the idea that this case does not say hazorik. This case does not say you're throwing. So how exactly are you transporting the object? If we're talking about a case of ma'avir, if we're talking about a case where you're actually carrying the object, and then it's only lemata me'asarahu d'mechayiv, you're only going to be chayiv if you carry the object within 10 tefachim. But lemala miyud lo mechayiv, and you're going to posit that if you carry the object above 10 tefachim that you're not chayiv, that's not true. V'ha'amar Rabbi Lazar, hamotzi masui lemala me'asarah chayiv. We already learned about that what? That if you carry an object above 10 tefachim in the airspace of Rishus Harabim, carrying it, you are chayiv. Why? Shekin masa b'nei kahas. Remember, so we had that whole sugya, because that was the masa b'nei kahas. So b'nei kahas that carried many of the specific kelim, those kelim were clearly carried above 10 tefachim of the airspace of Rishus Harabim, and yet you're still chayiv. Elalav bezorik. Rather, the Brisa must be talking about a case of where you threw the object, and yet what? What do we see? And yet, what does the Braisa say? You're only chayiv if the object travels within 10 tefachim of the ground. But more than 10 tefachim off the ground, lo mechayiv. You're not chayiv. Shmamina, what do we see from here? Shmamina, bikluta k'mashahun chapligi shmamina. So the Gemara says, indeed, this is what comes out of Bosai. That it would appear, based on this Braisa, that the way to really understand our Mishnah with the Machlokes, Rabbi Kiva and the Chachamim, is that they're arguing on the fundamental principle of Kluta K'mishonucha, namely that when an object travels from one Rishus through another Rishus, is it as if the object comes to rest in the Rishus in which it's traveling through? Rabbi Akiva says yes, and therefore in the case of where you throw an object from one Rishus Yachid to another Rishus Yachid, and Rishus Harabim is in the middle, you will be Chayiv, and the Chachamim say no. Upligid Rabbi Lazar. And this argues on Rabbi Lazar. Why? What is Rabbi Lazar? The Rabbi Lazar, Mechayiv hayu Rabbi Akiva afilu lemalam yud. That Rabbi Akiva would be Mechayiv, even if an object traveled above 10 tefachim. V'hai diktani Rosh Hasharabim atzmo. And that which it said, Rosh Hasharabim, now Mary's focusing now on the Braisa. Why did the Braisa say that the object traveled through the Rosh Hasharabim itself? L'hodi'acha kocham d'rabbanan. In order to teach us the position of the strength of the Rabbanon. What does that mean? That even according to the Rabbanon, even if the object travels within 10 tefachim of the ground, halacha l'maisi, you're still not going to be chayim. Upliga d'rad chilkiya bartuvi. And this argues on chilkiya bartuvi. Why? D'rad chilkiya bartuvi. Toch shlosha d'vriya kol chayim. If an object is within 3 tefachim of the ground, everyone agrees that you're chayim. I will say, because obviously, if within 3 tefachim, everybody agrees, lavud, it's attached to the ground. L'matam yasara, if the object travels above 10 tefachim, divriyakol pater, this is all in Rosh Hasharabim. Everyone agrees that above 10 tefachim, Rosh Hasharabim is makom patur. Migimel va'ad yud, the difference is from the shear of 3 tefachim off the ground to yud tefachim off the ground, this is banu l'machlokes Rabbi Kiva v'Rabbanon. This is in and of itself the very dispute of Rabbi Kiva and the Rabbanon. Tan yonam yachir, a braisa that supports this. Besoch gimel divrei hakol chayiv. If the object travels within 3 tefachim of the ground, everyone agrees that you're chayiv. Lemalam yud above 10 tefachim. Eino ela mishum shvus. It's only chayiv midirabanon. Ve'im hayu rishuyos shelo. Listen to this. But if the two rishuyos hayochid belonged to me, let's say the two rishuyos hayochid belonged to the same person, then mutter. Then aloch lemai said that's okay. We'll discuss why that is. Migimel va'ad asara. What if it travels from 3 tefachim to 10 tefachim? Rabbi Akiva Mechayiv, Rabbi Akiva says you're chayiv, v'chachamim potrin, v'chachamim say you're potter. Amar mar, im rishayu rishuyos shalo, mutter, I that which we said before, that if both of the rishuyos hayach belong to you, it's mutter. Leima to have it, you have to derav. This would seem to be a refutation of Rav. Why? Di itmar, shnei batim, v'shnei tzirir, v'saradim, if you have two homes, on the two sides, the opposite sides of v'saradim, Rabba Barafuna Amar Rav, Azur Lizrok Mizeloze, you are not permitted to go ahead and throw from one to the other. Ushmuel Amar Shmuel says, Mutu Lizrok Zeloze, you can't throw from one to the other. Belav mi ukimna lahi ki gon de midli chad, umasase chad, de zimni nafa va asin esuis. The Gemara says, no, that case is not a kasha. Why? Because remember, how does the Gemara set up? We'll see that case later on. Is that where the two balconies are staggered? One is high, one is low. The concern in that case is what's going to happen. Because it's not a straight, we'll call it not a straight linear throw, so what's going to happen? A person may end up miscalculating the shear for the throw. He's going to land in the Rosh Hasharabim. What's going to happen? A person will go to Rosh Hasharabim, retrieve the item, and carry it. Okay, fine. So that's the end of that sugya. So I will say, what seems to come out over here is that, although we're not really finished with it, but just to summarize what the Gemara seem to understand until now, fundamental machlokes is how to understand the dispute between Rabbi Akiva and the Rabbanon, what exactly is the particular situation. And now what we've seen is the following, that the fundamental dispute lies in the fact that Kluta Kamisha Huncha Damya. The situation is, halacha l'mais, when an object travels through a rishus, is it considered as if it came to rest in that rishus or not? Rabbi Akiva says, yes. The Chachamim saying no. The further machlokas is, well, what is the case? Is the case besoch yud, or is the case even lemalo miyud? Right? Does that apply? So again, so that's the further dispute. And that dispute really hinges on the idea of whether or not we learn out the notion of zorek mimoshit. Do we learn out the laws of throwing from the laws of carrying? Because everyone agrees that if you carry an object, lemalo miyud and rosh hasharabim, that you will be chayiv. The question, because we learned that from B'nai Kahas, the question is, does that carry over to the laws of Torah as well? That seems to be the part that's still disputed even by the end of the sugya. So the Gemara goes weiter. Amrli Rav Chista, Amrli Rav Chista Rav Hamnuna, Va'amrli Rav Hamnuna L'Rav Chista. Mina ha-milsa da'am Rabbanan. From where does this concept come from? The concept of kol pachos migimol kolavud dami. Where does the concept of lavud come from? Right? Remember, we saw this idea, Gemara just mentioned this before, that any object that is within 3 tefachim of the ground is considered attached to the ground. Where does this concept come from? Amarle, so he gives a simple answer. The fee, she'ef shalda l'rush sarabin, she'kilaki p'malaki t'britani. It's simple, because the area of Rosh Hasharabim is never flat. Because it's never flat, right, it can't be made flat with a plane. Right, because it's never flat, so by definition it has bumps, it has little grooves. So therefore, Chazal said, you know what, 3 tefachim represents, we'll call it the the height and depth normative differential in Rosh Sarabin. So the Gemara says, Ihachi Gimel Nami. If that's the case, then it should also be Gimel Tfachim and Safim Yerosai. Something very interesting. The laws of Lavud represent the space within up to three Tfachim. But apparently at three Tfachim itself, that is no longer considered Lavud. So the Gemara says the following. So if that's the case, that it's just a din of ups and downs in the Rosh Hasharabim, then Halacha L'maisa, it should even be at three. Lissu, furthermore, Hadisnan, Hamishalshel Defanos Milamala Limata. Furthermore, this idea that if one goes ahead and extends walls from Milamala Limata, from up to down, this is not talking about Sukkah. If one has walls of a Sukkah that are extending downwards, Imhin Gavar Mina Arshal Shetfakim Psula, if they are more than three Tfakim off the ground, the walls are Pasul. Hapachos Migimok Shira. But if the walls were less than three Tfakim, then they would be Kosher. To which the Gemara says, Hasam Hayu Taima, Mishun Dahavila Mechitza Shagadim Bokimba. There the difference is the reason why we have to be insistent on a Shira, that a Shira of three invalidates it, is because if it's up to three Tfakim distance, then what can happen? Literally, animals could get through it. If animals could get through it, then by definition it loses its status as a wall. So the Gemara says the following. That logic only works if the opening of the wall is on the bottom. What about if the opening of the wall is on the top? Meaning we have this concept as well. Let's say the walls don't go all the way up to the schach. So the halacha is the same. As long as the walls are within three tfachim of the schach, the walls are considered lavud to the schach, or the schach is considered lavud to the walls. So how do you understand that in that case? That's not about animals getting through. To which the Gemara says the following. To which the Gemara ultimately answers, you're right, at the end of the day, Lavud is a halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai. So the Gemara says, we don't have to prove its logic, nor do we have to prove cases from which it originates, because Hilchasa Gemirila, it's halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai, that anything within three tefachim is considered to be attached to the ground, but three tefachim itself and above is considered to be detached. Lavud works in every direction. Lavud works in every direction. Turn around, which is exactly why the Gemara ultimately has to understand that it's halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai. Because in other words, logically, it doesn't. Logically, you can understand it going downwards to a certain degree. But any direction must be halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai. Turn around. Mereshus ha-yachid, reshus ha-yachid, reshus ha-yachid, reshus ha-yachid. Now, going back to the brace that we spoke about before, or really the original case of the Mishnah, if an object is going from one reshus ha-yachid to another reshus ha-yachid, and reshus ha-rabim is in reshus ha-yachid, one reshus ha-rabim to another reshus ha-rabim, and reshus ha-yachid is in the middle. So we'll say this is the reverse case. The Mishnah's case was reshus ha-yachid to reshus ha-yachid and reshus ha-rabim in the middle. This is reshus ha-rabim to reshus ha-rabim, reshus ha-yachid in the middle. So Rebbe Mechayiv, Rebbe says you're chayiv. The chachamim poter, the chacham say you're poter. Rav Ushmuel, Darmi Tarbayu. So now Rav Ushmuel going to understand what is this machlokis between Rebbe and the chachamim. So Rav Ushmuel Darmi Tarbayu, lo chiyev Rebbe ela birshus hayochid mekura. Rebbe only makes you chayiv when if the rishus hayochid that the object is traveling through is a rishus hayochid with a roof, a roofed rishus hayochid. Why? The Amrinon Besa Kiman Demal Yodami, because essentially what we say is we view an enclosure as if it's filled. Kiman Demal Yodami. So what does that mean practically for us? Look at Rashi. Rashi says. So Kiman Demal Yodami means what? That we view the Rosh Hashanah if it has a roof as if it's filled. Now what does that mean as if it's filled? It means that an object that passes through it essentially would be viewed as what? As if it comes to rest. Kind of like the Klut Kamishahuncha idea. So the Gemara is not qualifying. When does Rebbe say that if the object travels from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah with Rosh Hashanah in the middle, it shall be chayiv, only if it's mikura, only if it's roofed, because then the object is considered as if it came to rest. Aval, she'ina mikuralo, but if the Rosh Hashanah does not have a roof, then halacha l'maisa, Rebbe would not make you chayiv. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Chana, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Mechayiv haya Rebbe shtayim, achas mishum otza, v'achas mishum hachnasa. It's interestingly enough, Rabbi Yehuda says in the name of Shmuel that Rebbe would actually make you chayiv twice, once for otza and once for hachnasa. I will say, what does that mean? Because reality, I will say, you have to be intellectually honest. If you literally hold that when an object travels through another Rishus, it comes to rest, then in reality, if it goes from Rishus HaYachid to Rishus HaRabim to Rishus HaYachid, then there are two things that have happened. It's come to rest when it traveled from Rishus HaYachid to Rishus HaRabim, and then it got up again and went from Rishus HaRabim to Rishus HaYachid. So therefore, Shmuel says that according to Rabbi, it actually be Chayiv twice, one for Otsa, one for Achnasa. Yosef Rav Chana v'Kakashile. Rav Chana was very bothered by this. Amud Beis, Lameimra, the Mechayiv Revi Atolda, the Mokom Av. So he said, this represents a more fundamental issue. If you remember again, going back to our Sugya yesterday, the Av Melacha is Hotza. The Av Melacha is taking an object from Rosh Sayachid to Rosh Sarabim, and the Tolda is what's called Hachnasa, which means literally bringing an object in from Rosh Sarabim to Rosh Sayachid. So in order to say that you're Chayiv twice, let's say in this particular case, of where you're throwing an object from Rosh Sarabim to Rosh Sayachid, and it goes to another Rosh Sarabim, you'd have to say that you're going to be Chayiv for an Av, for a Tolda and an Av when done simultaneously. And I will say again, what does that mean? In this case, everything's happening at once. Okay? So now, in order for Rebbe to go in and say that you're Chayiv, what he would really be saying, or you're Chayiv twice, excuse me, is that you're Chayiv for committing an Av and its Tolda in the same lapse. And the Gemara says, Vahatanya, we learned, Rebbe, Om Rebbe says, Dvarim Hadvarim, Eila Hadvarim. So let's say, we actually saw this drasha earlier, it's actually very interesting. So here, the Pasuk is talking about Moshe Rabbeinu commanding Klal Yisrael regarding Shabbos. Regarding Shabbos. So remember, in the realm of Shabbos, so it says Eila Hadvarim. So Rebbe makes an interesting drasha. Dvarim, the basic plural of Dvarim is how much? Is two. Hadvarim adds another one. That's three. The gematria of Eila, right, the Gemara says, is 36. 36 plus 3 equals what? 39, which is a remes to the 39 malachos. We saw this drasha before. So Eila lamites malachos, shenemru l'moshe misinai. Now, Bosse, remember again, no matter how you're learning out the 39 malachos, one thing is clear, which is everybody's wondering why it's necessary to keep giving us a number, right? We're smart people, so we can count up the malachos in the Mishnah, and we'll know that there's 39. So whether it's the Mishnah that says that 40 minus 1, or Rebbe has this whole drasha of Dvarim, Hadvarim, Eila, so it comes out 39 malachos. Why the number? Remember again? Why the number? The number was always to teach us that this is the maximum number of violations that you can have in one Helam. To teach us that even if you commit an Av, and it's Tolda, and it's offshoot, in Helam, Echas, you only chayev what? You only chayev once. So how could Rebbe therefore suggest that in the case of where you throw the object from Rosh Sarabim to Rosh Sarabim with Rosh Yachid in the middle, how could he say you'd be chayev twice? Because then that would be saying that you're chayev for an Av and it's Tolda if committed at the same time. So the Gemara says the following. The Gemara says, Elam tells us good. Amrli Rav Yosef, Mar Ahamas Nila, the Kashile. So Rav Yosef says, you have this problem because you're lining up the question according to Rebbe. The Kashile, the Rebbe ad Rebbe. Anan ad Rebbe Yehuda Masninon, Velo Kashilon. We frame this entire subject as referring to Rebbe Yehuda. We don't have a Kashia. What does this mean? This Sanya, Rosh Hashayachid, the Rosh Sarabim. If you have a case of where you throw an object from Rosh Hashayachid to Rosh Sarabim, the over Arba Amos Rosh Sarabim. So what's the difficulty? Listen to this. I'm standing in Rosh Hashayachid, and I throw an object into Rosh Sarabim. But it doesn't just land punkt in the Rosh Sarabim. What happens? So it travels an additional 4 amos in the Rosh Sarabim. So we'll say, in reality, 2 acts have occurred here. Act number 1 is what? Transferring an otzah, transferring an object from Rosh Sayachah to Rosh Sarabim. And what's the second act that's occurred over here? An object has traveled 4 amos in Rosh Sarabim, which is the act of what? An act of Havara. So that's what we're going to see. So the Gemara says the following. So Rabbi Huda nechayiv. Rabbi Huda says yechayiv. Vechachamim poch necham say yepater. Amar Rabbi Huda, Amar Shmuel. So Rabbi Huda says the name of Shmuel nechayiv haya Rabbi Yehuda shtayim. Rabbi Huda is yechayiv twice. Why you chayiv twice? Achas mishum hotzah veachas mishum haavara. Right? Why you chayiv twice? One for the act of hotzah, throwing the object from Rishus Hayochid to Rosh Sarabim, and number 2 for what? The Ha'avara. Because also, I remember, if you accept the idea of Kluta Kamishon Chadamya, what that could possibly mean is, as soon as that object enters into the Rosh Sarabim, what happened? it's as if it came to rest. And then what? And then it traveled another subsequent dollar amos afterwards, which will make you chayiv for an act of hotzah as well as an act of havara. Because if you're going to say that Rabbi Yehuda only makes you chayiv once, then what does that mean? Mechlal, drabbanan patri legamri. Then when the rabbanan say you're patri, does that say the rabbanan say you're totally patri? How could that be? Ha'afikle, mirashus hayachid, rashus harabim. You have, at the end of the day, you have caused an item to move. Right, let's just say you've taken an item out from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah. How can the Chacham say that? Let me say it slower. At the end of the day, how can the Chachamim say that Potter means that you're Potter from everything? At the end of the day, you have still done an act of Hotzah by causing the object to move from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah. So the Gemara says, Mimai. How do you know? Dilma, the Olam Emlocha Rabbi Huda Chaduhu de Mechayiv. Maybe Rabbi Huda, in fact, only holds that you're Chayiv once. Aye. The Rabbanan patri legamre, and the Rabbanan say, yes, you're patra at all. So both say, v'hechi mashkachasla. So both say, how would you ever have a case like this? It seems to be counterintuitive. At the end of the day, you are standing in Rosh Tzayachid, and you throw an object into Rosh Sarabin, and the item travels another 4 hours in Rosh Sarabin. Rabbanan, if you want to say that you disagree with Rabbi Yehuda, you're not going to be chayif twice, fine. But to say that you're patra legamre, how could that be? Listen to this. Kigon, da omer ad denafgalei the Rosh Sarabin, tanuach. What's the case, according to the Rabbanan? Listen, this is fascinating. The case is where I'm standing in Rosh Yachid, and what do I say? I want to throw this object into the Rosh Harabim, but I want it to land right as it enters in the Rosh Harabim. That's my Kavanah. I'm throwing it in such a way where I want it to land, punkt, right over the boundary line. I want it to land right here. And what happens? What happens? That doesn't happen. That doesn't happen. It ends up landing further than I had wanted it to land. Listen to this. Ubaha kamuflagi, and this is what they're arguing about. The Rabbi Yehuda savar kluta kamishoncha. Rabbi Yehuda says, halacha lemaisa, when an object enters into the airspace of another rishus, it's as if it immediately comes to rest in that rishus, and therefore, v'is avida lemachshavto, and therefore what? My das materialized. I wanted the object to come to rest immediately upon entering the Rosh Hashanah. And guess what? It did. It got up, then it traveled a little bit more. But at the end of the day, my machshava materialized. V'rabbanan savrino, lo amrinan kluta k'mishuncha, v'lo is avida le'machshavto. However, the Rabbanan will say, no, we don't say kluta k'mishuncha. We don't say that once an object enters into the airspace of another Rosh Hashanah, it's as if it immediately comes to rest. And therefore, my machshava, the way I wanted to do the malacha, did not materialize. I wanted it to land right when I entered into Rosh Hashanah. That did not happen. And therefore what? And therefore, according to the Rabbanan, what could happen? I would literally be potter. Right? Potter lava asr, asmi drabbanan. But remember, when the malacha, when you have intention to do a malacha in a certain way, and it does not materialize that way, Torah requires malachas machshavas, you would not be chayiv if the malacha doesn't materialize the way you want it to. Aval, atolda b'makom av, lo mechayiv Rabbi Yehuda. But Rabbi Yehuda, in fact, would not make you chayiv when you had gone ahead, Rabbi Yehuda would not make you chayiv for the simultaneous commission of an av and its tolda. So Rabbi said, therefore, according to this approach in the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda would only make you chayiv once, right? Meaning you'll only be chayiv for the act of hotzah, not for the act of havara. Whereas the Rabbanan would totally patter you because, again, your intention for the object to come to rest immediately upon entering Rosh Hashanah did not materialize. So the Gemara says, about loaf. Lo sagadaitcha. Sorry, not going to work. This Sanya, Rabbi Yehuda Mosif, Af Hashovet Vahamedakdek. So I will say again, remember, these were different, we actually had this sugya earlier on. So the Gemara spoke about these concepts before. Shovet means lining up, right, lining up the threads with the rod. Medaktek means beating the thread. This is all for the loom. So Rabbi Yehuda Mosif Af Hashovet Vahamedakdek. Rabbi Yehuda holds that these items are avos malachos as well. Arulo, shovet harihu bichlal mesach, medaktek harihu bichlal orig. So I said to Rabbi Yehuda that shovet is in mesach, is the malach of mounting the warp thread. And medaktek, this idea of beating the thread, is already considered a part of weaving. My love, the avdinhu letarvayu bahadi adadi. Are you not talking about a case where you committed these acts together? And yet, what do we see? That Rabbi Yehuda is willing to contemplate the notion that you would be chayiv for the commission of a tolda together with its av. To which the Gemara says, I'm sorry. Mimani. But how do you know that? Dilma, li'olam da'avda l'haluchuda v'haluchuda. Maybe not. Maybe we're talking about a case where each was committed independently. V'Rabbi Huda told the b'makom av. Lo mechayiv. And Rabbi Huda is not making you chayiv in av where it's committed with its tolda. U'b'hakim rifli, this is what they're arguing about. Rabbi Huda savrahani avos ninu. Rabbi Huda holds that these particular acts of, again, shovet and medaktik should be avos melachos. But Rabbanan savri, hani toldos ninu. And the Rabbanan say, no, they're not avos, they're toldos. Teda diktani, and the Gemara says this seems to be correct, because after all, what does it say? Rabbi Huda mosif. Rabbi Huda is adding on. I amrit bishlama avos, my mosif, avos. So if Rabbi Huda wants to suggest that these two additional acts should be avos malachos, then I understand why it says mosif. However, el I amrit toldos, my mosif. But if he's only trying to add on toldos, then what in fact is he adding? It's marnami, rabav Rabbi Yosef, to amrit tarvaihu, lo chayiv Rabbi Yehuda ela achos. In reality, Rabbi Yehuda does not, if you do an av and a toldo together, Rabbi Yehuda only makes you chayiv once. Amali Ravina, Luravashi, Ulamai de Salaka Daitin Meikara, Demechayiv Haya Rabbi Yehuda Shtayim. So the Gemara says, that which we originally thought, that Rabbi Yehuda would in fact make you chayiv twice, I lahacha kaboila, lahacha lo kaboila, I lahacha kaboila, I'm sorry, I lahacha kaboila, lahacha lo kaboila. So the Gemara says, but then, according to Rabbi Yehuda, then, what would you be chayiv for? At the end of the day, where do you want the object to go? Halacha l'maisa. Do you want it to go ahead and travel in the Rosh Sarabim? Do you not want it to travel in the Rosh Sarabim? To which the Gemara says, Ba'omer, according to Rabbi Yehuda, the case you'd have to work out is, Ba'omer, kol makom shetir tzetanuach. According to Rabbi Yehuda, the way you'd have to structure the case would be what? Well, halacha l'maisa, the person throws it, and what do they say? Wherever it lands is fine. A person doesn't make a machlok. So Rabbi said, what comes out? We'll stop over here. What comes out according to this sugi is the following. So we have a number of fundamental machlokesim. Fundamental machlokes number one, let's work backwards, is if you commit an avin atolda at once, how many times are you chayiv? So we paskin, Rambam paskin l'maisa, once. Once. So you could be chayiv if you perform multiple avos malachos simultaneously, you'll be chayiv for each and every av. But if you commit one av, even with multiple of its a number of its toldos, you will only be chayiv once. That's the ma'isa. Number two, kluta kamisha huncha damya. Right? What we do in this machlokis, which really began as machlokis in Mishnah between Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim, in terms of kluta kamisha huncha. So, also interestingly enough, halacha l'maisa, this seems to be an ongoing machlokes. The Rambam seems to pass like the Chachamim, that we do not hold kluta kamisha huncha damya. And therefore, again, when an object travels through a particular airspace, we don't automatically assume that it comes to rest within that airspace. However, halacha l'maisa, that's still subject to the previous machlokes in terms of, is that l'mata miyud or l'mala miyud? When does that exactly apply? And correct, and Rosh Sayachid. How does it apply to Rosh Sayachid, if it does apply to Rosh Sayachid at all? So maybe what we'll try to do tomorrow is, we'll spend just a couple of moments, I'll bring you in the pertinent Rambams, just so we tie up the loose ends on these sugyas. Alright, we'll stop over here. Sure.
I think we need to make sure we have the see it on the screen tomorrow.
What?
You know, the whole thing.